Sometimes the pain inside your darkness cuts so deep you'd rather die. Standing on your own has left you wounded with an emptiness that longs to feel alive. You are not alone. I'll be there when you fall. You are not alone. I'll be there through it all. And I will reach out my hand to let you know, for this battle, you are worth it all. For this battle, you are worth it all. The tears we share, they are my prayer for you. They are my voice, they are my song. The words of hope I sing, they come from trials I've been through. So you would know that you're loved and you belong. You are not alone. I'll be there when you fall. You are not alone. I'll be there through.
Toil and Trouble. Welcome, everyone, to the Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba, coming to you live from West Chicago, Illinois. And today is, what is today? It is May 20th, isn't it? 2018. I'm going to write this down. I need to write this down. Okay, so it's May 20th. Oh, and I should remember now, because guess what? Something incredible happened yesterday. And you know what it was? Well, I'm going to tell you about it in a minute. Okay, but I just want to say you're listening to The Road to Recovery. This is a live broadcast of The Road to Recovery. I told you my name because I am a recovering alcoholic, an alcoholic in recovery. I have been sober now for 22 years, 8 months, and 20 days as of today. Oh, thank you. Okay, but you know what? I have to thank this program of recovery. I thank my higher power, Lord Jesus, okay, for giving me all the gifts and the strength to work this program. And, yeah, there's a lot of temptations. We're going to talk a little bit about them. You know, and I'm even thinking of, I don't know. I thought about doing a live feed of sorts. But you know what? It's not all about me. But the reason why I do mention my name is just to let you know that I was losing a battle in life through alcohol, you know, and here I thought it was my best friend. I thought it was the only thing that was helping me get through my life 22 years, 8 months, and 20 days ago. And I'll tell you what, when I look back over the history of my life for the previous 20 years, okay, I started drinking when I was about 17 years old. So I started drinking 21 years earlier. And when I look back at those 21 years, what a wreckage, what a tale of wreckage I left in the past. I had 3 failed marriages, 3, 1, 2, 3, okay, nothing I'm proud of. I have 3 children whom I love dearly, and I didn't get to watch them grow up personally, physically, right in their presence. I watched other men do an unbelievably good job of being parents. Yes, when they say that about, you know, it takes more than just giving birth to be a dad. You know, I'm a biological donor, as my first wife used to call me. And, you know, to some degree it was, okay? I mean, there were circumstances, and we can get into that and everything, but you know what? It really doesn't matter. I can't go back and change the life and the world back then. But what I could do is change myself today. Now, back then, in 1991 and 1993, I also got a DUI, 2 DUIs, okay, for driving under the influence. And if the truth be known, I drove a lot more times under the influence than I should have, okay? And, yeah, it wasn't a good thing to drive under the influence of alcohol. That's just that. But, you know, I did, and it seemed like, you know, just an everyday occurrence for me. And what happened was, after my third wife and I had one of our major blowouts, and I knew that at that point I needed to let her go and move on. I couldn't do it. My heart was broken. I loved her. I was crazy about her. And I don't even know if it was love, to be honest with you, because back then, who knows what I was feeling, okay? I just know that it felt like love. It seemed like love. Maybe it was an unbelievably incredible dose of lust, probably, okay? We didn't have relationships. We took hostages. That's what alcoholics do. And whatever, when she and I split up, some reason, some sense of logic came to me, and I came to realize that maybe I was part of the problem. Maybe I was the reason why I was having so much calamity and craziness in my life. Isn't that amazing that this clueless person suddenly realizes that maybe I was the source of all the problems that were happening in my life, and maybe I needed to do something about them? And I did. I finally quit drinking. I couldn't do it by myself, though, not at all. I needed the help of someone, people educated, familiar with my situation and my challenge, my handicap, whatever you want to call it, my addiction. And I went to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I started a program of recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous back on August 30th, 1995. And I took it one day at a time, one day, one step at a time. And I'll tell you what, folks, here it is, 22 years, 8 months, 20 days, today. And all I could do is one day at a time. Yes. Applause, applause, applause. Now, does that mean because I've had so much time behind me that I'm immune to alcohol? Absolutely not. Not at all. In fact, you know what? There are times that even drinking seems like maybe a good idea for me. But I know better. Okay, that's part of my brain that still likes to function in that la-la land. Okay, but I can't be there. I have to not linger in that spot and recognize that I got a problem. Now, I'm going to continue to talk more about my problem and my successes of the recent, because I've got some great news to share with anybody who's listening, anybody who cares to listen, and I'm going to talk about it in a few moments. But this is a live call-in show, and if you'd like to join me on the air, maybe have questions for me or comments or share something of your own, the number to call is area code 323-580-5755, and join me here on the show tonight. I'm going to be on for the next 2 hours through 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, at which time that I will conclude the show and move on with my life, okay, my new life. But every day is a new life. Every day is something new and exciting. But what I wanted to tell you is that as of, about 12:30 yesterday afternoon, I became engaged to my fourth potential wife. We're not married yet, but now, let me tell you, I have not been married for the last 22 years, okay, and maybe about 20 years and 6 months, because it was a few months after I started in the program of recovery that we concluded our marriage, my third marriage. And I got to tell you something, none of my marriages were like this relationship that I have today with my significant other, who is the lovely Miss Martha. And I got to tell you, she just won me over. She's just an incredible person. And I do feel worthy and worthy of her. And I'm grateful that she is in my life today. And I want to talk about it simply because this program made it happen. This program gave me my life back. Now, it wasn't solely this program, but it definitely got me going in the right direction. First, I had to get rid of the alcohol that was really causing some major chaos in my life. Now, you know, when I started in my journey of recovery, okay, I just needed a break from the rest of the world, actually. There was too many people coming down on me for so many different things. Okay, I had court issues because of the DUIs. I didn't have my driver's license back yet, okay? I had money problems beyond reality, okay? I was poor. I was broke. I was financially broke, financially. I wasn't a bad guy. I just was doing dumb things, some really dumb things. And, you know, getting arrested is an unbelievably dumb thing. But what is wrong, horribly wrong, was that I was driving under the influence of alcohol. And that was wrong. That was not only a dumb thing, that was a horrible thing, because I was playing Russian roulette with other people's lives. You never knew what happened. In fact, you know, last week, I just on the way in today, I was listening to the news, and there's so many tragics. I mean, first of all, I'd like to extend my greatest condolences to the people in Texas, I believe it is, El Paso or whatever. The students, you know, that were killed, the teachers that were killed, the loved ones who have to live knowing that happened, the people that were injured who are fighting for their lives. But I also want to pray for that kid who did it. And hold them up to God and say, Lord, please help this kid. He's really messed up. When someone can feel that the way to resolve anger and hurt feelings is to literally take the life of other people, it's so wrong. I've felt that feeling. I've felt that rage, that anger, that hurt, that pain. I did. I grew up with it. I was subjected to some really bad conditions growing up. My father was not my father. He was my employer who was a cruel employer. I don't know. Maybe I never allowed him to be a father to me. Maybe he attempted to be at some point. I don't know. But I do know that he never really was, in my heart, a father. And I was angry. And when other people made fun of me, which they did, probably just because I let them. That's probably the biggest reason. You know, I mean, you could stand up to bullies. You could stand up to them and say, enough. There's nothing, you know, bullies, they're just sad people as well. They've got issues. And when we say, I had a drinking disease, okay, I really had a thinking disease. The drinking was the symptom of some really messed up thinking. Yeah, I had some really messed up thinking. And I dealt with that messed up thinking by drinking. That's right. I did it. I dealt with it by drinking. And that was, again, so wrong. And so, I don't know, inopportune and you name it and whatever. I'm just telling you, it was my way of dealing with things. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to do it. And, you know, from the very first time that I drank, okay, I got to tell you something. I was hooked. I liked the feeling that I felt, okay? And it was a very euphoric, it was a very, it bolstered my enthusiasm. It made me feel alive, and I something that I wanted to. I felt terrible because I didn't want to live up to that point, and somehow I was just living because, well, that's just what I did. I lived. Okay, I did what I was told. I was a good soldier. I was a good employee. And, you know, that's no way to go through life as a child, okay, for anybody. And I grew up with a large, large family. Okay, I did. I grew up with a large family. And in that large family, okay, we functioned more, I don't know, what do you want to call it, autonomously, okay? Yeah, something like that. And I got to tell you something. It was just very difficult to function as a human being. I didn't even know what that was. I didn't even know what being human was because we just didn't know. We didn't learn a lot of things from our parents. And it's really not an excuse, but it is what happened. And I got to tell you something. You know, people say that they're amazed at what goes on and what happened in the eyes and why these kids did what they did. There's generally some sign somewhere that somebody is not paying attention to. I'm going to just tell you, I'm going to take it upon myself to make that bold statement. And I don't know what those signs were, and I don't know what happened with this individual person, but, you know, the pain is there. And how it can be hidden for so long, I don't know. I don't know that it can be, and maybe it's just not being shown or something. I'm just saying I'm sure it is there, and it's just terrible. It's just, you know, that somebody could and would and take the life of anyone out of pain and hurt. I wanted to do it myself. I never did. I don't know. That's a good question. Is it because I feared hell for eternity? Because I was taught through religion that thou shalt not kill, the Ten Commandments. That was one that, you know, stuck with me. It didn't say thou shalt not hurt somebody. It said thou shalt not kill. And, you know, maybe that's what's missing is maybe parents are too busy trying to make a living, earn a living, get ahead, be like other people, give their kids a lot, that we're missing out on some of the very crucial things that need to be given to kids to help them develop and be better individuals and human beings. And I'm just going to tell you, it's really sad. It's unfortunate and sad that anybody could take a life. And I can't imagine even that this young man could possibly and potentially be thinking that it's an okay thing. Because it's not. It's not an okay thing. To what? To take somebody's life and why? Just because they pissed you off? You know, I mean, my God, if that's the case, I think there would be a lot more murders taking place in the world because there's a lot of people that piss off other people. I'm going to tell you, I piss off a lot of people. Other people piss me off. This week I had a very, very, this last week I had a difficult time simply because I ended up firing an employee Friday. I fired an employee. And I got to tell you something, that is a hard thing for me to do because I know that this individual needs employment. And I know, you know, and I was really so hoping that she would get what we did here. Unfortunately, she just wasn't. And it was causing some real duress in my business. And the other part of it was that she felt justified by the mistakes she was making, even though she apologized for them. You know, she kept wanting to just go on that, you know, what she was doing was okay, and it wasn't okay. It wasn't okay. And whatever, long story short, I had to let her go, and that was sad. Sad for me, sad for her, sad for everybody, because we liked her as a human being, but it wasn't working. And I have to learn to separate my work from my personal life and not incorporate it. And that sometimes is very, very difficult for me. It is. It's not easy for me to do simply because I have a big heart and I want to make sure that everybody can have what they want in life. And I know that, you know, what they want is safety, security. I know this individual, she was wonderful, and she wanted to take care of her daughter. But the fight she put up was too much. It really was too much. And, you know, couldn't have it. I just couldn't have it any longer simply because we have a job to do here. We have responsibilities. I have responsibilities. And I got to tell you something, if they don't include her messing around and not, you know, doing her job with thought. And we can only accept so many apologies. You know, it is work. It's a job. And, you know, sometimes people aren't cut out for the kind of work that they're doing. And I don't know how sometimes we get off on tangents of this, but I'm going to tell you something. Like I said, it was a very interesting weekend in so many ways because, and I'm going to tell you the most important reason, is that I became engaged this weekend to the lovely Miss Martha. This is a woman that I've been dating and seeing for the last 2 years. And I got to tell you something, in all my marriages, I was married 3 times prior to this, and in all the times that I was married, in those times, I never proposed marriage in the manner that I did with this wonderful woman. Okay, I just thought it was a rite of passage. And what's the point? What's, you know, you get married and that was it. You just said, hey, we're going to get married. And, you know, and we did it. And that was it. And there's so much more to being married, obviously. And anybody who listens to this broadcast can easily tell you that there is than just, you know, saying, hey, babe, let's get married, you know? Okay. And that's, well, that's it. The joy, that was my joy for the weekend. And I got to tell you something. I've been working on this for almost 5 months. Yeah. And I got to tell you, it was really difficult because the lovely Miss Martha has 3 adult children that really love their mom, and they're very close. And the lovely Miss Martha lost her first husband. Now it's been about 10 years. When I met her, it was about 8 years. And she had been on her own for the previous 8 years. She never dated anybody, never went out with anyone until she met me. And then we met and we clicked, and, you know, it's kind of like we fell in love, and we started seeing each other. And then, you know, but I've always maintained a very honest, open relationship with Martha and let her know. And I learned that through this program of recovery. I learned the importance of honesty with her. Now, I'd be lying to you if I told you I didn't have secrets, but nothing like the ones that really impacted me back then. And I opened up and let her know about me and let her know that I was, you know, had married 3 times and failed in those marriages. And the reasons why I married 3 times, because there were reasons. They weren't intelligent ones for the most part. They were more for, I guess, practicality. And I won't deny that I was head over heels for my first wife, Toni. I was head over heels for her. Loved her, loved being with her, until, you know, then things changed. We were young. We were easily imprintable, easily impressionable, and, you know, things changed. We had a kid, and I had to go to work full-time and work 2 jobs to pay the bills, and she was taking home the kids, and it was a mess, you know. And when I see kids today having kids, I don't know how they do it. I can't imagine how they do it. Parents, grandparents play such a big role in their lives today simply because they can't do it on their own. The incomes that they earn in some manner, some way, shape, or form would never be able to justify paying rent, the rent rates that are today. I'm a realtor. I know what the rent rates are. They're astronomical. They're big time, you know. And, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine what it would be like today when I see young kids. My heart goes out to them, and I try to help in whatever manner I can, but I also realize that they've got to do it themselves. Just like, but, you know, when I see abuse from alcohol, especially alcohol or drugs, but alcohol especially, I try to let them know from my own personal experience how difficult it was for me to, you know, I tell them, I've been with failed marriages 3 times. Who wants that? Nobody ever goes into a marriage and says, hey, I hope I fail pretty soon. Of course not. Even the marriage that I really didn't want, the one I didn't want, I'm not going to tell you I wanted the third one. I didn't want any of them if you wanted to know the truth, but I figured, you know, the first one, now that's just what you did. That was the right thing to do, and you just moved on, and that's what I was going to do, have kids and raise family, just like my father, or the parent that called himself my father. I had no parenting skills, nobody to follow after. I mean, I certainly didn't want to follow this guy other than provide for us financially. The man really wasn't a good role model, and so I didn't learn how to be a parent. And my mother, You know, I was around her more, and I think that some of my brothers and I felt that we could have done a better job being a mother than she did, and that she was a mother. My mom's still alive now. She's 89 years old. Kudos to her. She wants to die. She wants to go to heaven. Okay? She feels that her life here is over, that she's done her job. And she birthed and gave birth to 13 kids. Actually, there was a 14th. There was a stillborn between myself and my younger brother. And I always say it was a sister that I didn't have, because there's seven boys and six girls in my family. And I have six brothers and six sisters. So I'm the seventh. But I'm number six in the pecking order. And my brother Dave, who is also in recovery, is number seven. And and John, who is number four. The three of us are actually in recovery. We're working programs in recovery to keep from drugs and alcohol. And I'll tell you what, we have some incredibly active minds, okay? And our minds think way too much. Way, way, way too much. Okay? And I got to tell you, I'm just grateful that I found this program. You know, I was telling the lovely Miss Martha that one of the reasons why I really do enjoy and prefer sounds. I don't like silence all that much. And one of the reasons why I do prefer sounds is simply because when I don't have sounds around, my brain, you know, has a tendency of overworking itself. And why? Just because that's the way it is. That's the way my brain functions. It's not right. It's not wrong. It is just the way it happens. And some days, it's too much for me. Not more than I can handle these days, but who knows? Some days, you just don't know what's going to happen. I don't always know what's going to happen in my life, in the life around me. But I do know that I don't want to fall back into the old ways and the old patterns of my life that I did follow back, 22 years ago. And it wasn't everyday living. It was every day, every way that I lived and how I got through my life. And I got to tell you something. I'm grateful to God. And the reason why he directed me, because I'll tell you what, it was a miracle that I found the program of recovery, and how I found the miracle and found the program of recovery. Yeah, it was. And I'm grateful that I did, because had I not found it, I'm sure that I would have probably been dead or incarcerated in prison from doing something stupid. And that's it. You know, like this kid who shot these people. I don't know even if he planned it. I just think that he had mental health problems. That's not normal thinking when you think about eradicating people, especially ones that hurt you, or maybe they made it, he was envious of them. There's all kinds of reasons. I felt those feelings. I didn't kill anybody, though, and I'm grateful. I don't know what kept me from doing it, probably because I wasn't around weapons. You know, I made sure I wasn't. I remember one of my brothers getting so angry, and he picked up a knife, and I was talking with him on the phone, and he told me he had a knife, and I told him, put the knife down, okay, because I knew that if he kept that knife, that he probably would have hurt somebody, and by the grace of God, he did put it down, and he didn't hurt anybody. Instead, he went on to help a lot of people. He gives volunteers of his life in Arizona to the homeless, to the people, shelter. He's homeless himself, but he helps them out. And he gives them, you know, helps feed them and whatever, you know, he can. And I got to tell you something. You got to like that. He's a good kid. He's a great kid. And he's my younger brother. And that's my brother, Jim. And, you know, I've got a lot of brothers and a lot of stories about all my kin, you know, and the only thing I could say is that, you know, it wasn't easy growing up, and maybe because we didn't have weapons, and maybe because there was always somebody around that kept us, you know, from hurting anybody. I mean, it would have been easy to hurt somebody. It would be incredibly easy, and I'm glad we didn't, you know. And why? Just simply because they hurt us? Yeah, you know, nobody likes to be hurt. Nobody likes to be made fun of. I certainly don't. And yet, people did that. And people did a lot of things that they shouldn't have been doing to us as kids. And, you know, I could just imagine my father saying, oh, look, they just need a good kick in the ass. Well, you know what? I'm learning, too. I've learned from my coworker, Cora, of all people. Cora, who has been just an incredible source of, oh, I don't know, a lot of things. She's just really great. And one of the jewels that I feel I will continue to help people and, you know, and help them to help themselves. And Cora is like a prime reason. And I'm so happy that she just was able to make do and do good and climb out of the place that she was at in her life. You know, she was struggling, and she had, you know, she has a husband that's been ill for many years, actually, and yet she still keeps on going. She's the breadwinner. She's so many things to her family, and she teaches me. And we were talking, and we needed some help over the weekend because we were doing a festival in addition to planning on how to ask my significant other, Martha, to marry me. And Cora mentioned that maybe her daughter would be willing to help out, and she was going to ask her. And I kind of chuckled and said, ask her. Why don't you just tell her to show up and do it? Because that's, you know, what parents, I think, should do. And she said, now, that's not a way to get through to your kid, is to demand from them. And you know what? That's the only way I ever knew how to do it, was to do just that. You made a demand of your kids and told them what to do. And I didn't like it, but Cora said, no, she's going to talk to her daughter and invite her and see if she would help. And she put some sort of a request in. If she helped, she would like something, and I agreed to it. And guess what? She helped out. She was a big help, and was glad that she came, and we certainly appreciated it because, you know, not everybody wants to help out on different functions. And as a real estate company, we need visibility in the community. And while it would be great to have, you know, the best agents show up in suit and tie and show up and say, hey, everybody, you know what? We're not that kind of real estate company. We aren't. We are a laid-back real estate company, okay, that does okay, and we do okay. We do good things, and we help out, and I guess we get things done, and that's the best thing. We get things done, and I don't know. That's the best thing I could say here. So, hey, I want to remind you, okay, you're always welcome to call in. You know, maybe you're just enjoying an intimate conversation that I'm having with you. And again, yes, I get frustrated. Last week I said, oh, I'm going to quit. I don't know. I might stop the show. Next week is Memorial Weekend, and the lovely Miss Martha is heading out to the lake, and she invited me along, and I'd certainly like to be there with her and family and, you know, enjoy some relaxed time because I work pretty hard. And I might do the show from a remote broadcast, which means that if I do that, you will not be able to call in. You can listen, but you won't be able to call in. And I thought maybe you guys would like to call in at some point. And, you know, that's not a bad thing to do. And if you wanted to, we would certainly like for you to join us on the air here, if that meets your whatever. So, keep it in mind. Let us know if you wanted to call in today, that would be good. If you have anything that you want to share, that would be great. I'm open. I'm receptive. I'm going to spend some time with my future daughter-in-laws, because they will become my daughter-in-laws. I am old enough to be their father, and I don't know. We'll all see what happens. I mean, I'm sure that they will receive me well, because that is their mother that I'm planning and I'm hoping to marry. And she did say yes, so it's just a matter of figuring out what, when, and when it works best for our lives. And that's okay. You just never know what's going to happen, right? It's just one of those things. You just go along, and if it works, then it's fine, and hopefully it will work out. And so you never know. I might be married sooner or later. I have no idea. We're certainly going to discuss the options and the possibilities sometime soon. But right now we're just kind of enjoying the fact that we got through it. We made the decision to do that, and that's all good, and everybody's okay with where we're at with it. And I haven't talked to her daughters since the prior two, and they were very honest. And I guess that's what, the best thing I can say is, and I appreciate that they were honest with me. And you can't ask for more sometimes from people if they give you honesty. You may not like what they have to say. I was told that I wasn't going to receive support from them simply because of my track record, and they didn't know me well enough for the many years that I've been around, 2 years, and they'd like to get to know me better. And who knows? With time, they will. Hopefully, they'll like who they see and know that I take care of their mom, that I love their mom and take care of her. And, it's even fun and wild for me to say the words love, okay, love of someone. I'm not used to it. I'll be candid with you. I am not used to it, okay? But that's okay. It comes with time, and hopefully I will be there, okay? And so let's see what happens. Let's see what the world brings. So next weekend, I know I have a lot of responsibilities here real estate-wise, but, some days, just got to say, what the heck. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, and hopefully things will work out wonderfully, and we're going to do it. So we're coming up on the 8 o'clock hour. It's 7:45 actually here, and I think I'm going to play a song because I can. And let's see if this song is – no, that was that one. Let's see if we can play Marilyn Scott. Let's take a little break here. You guys enjoy the music. I'll be back with The Road to Recovery in a little bit. Listen to Marilyn Scott. And she's going to sing about the last of all days, right? And that's always a wonderful thing to think about. I'll be back with The Road to Recovery in a moment.
If today were the last of all days, would it change how you feel? Would you rise for a moment above all your fears? Become one with the moon and the stars? Would you like what you see looking down? Did you give everything that you could? Have you done everything that you wanted to do? Is there still so much more that you would? Follow your dream to the end of the rainbow, waving your heart out of gold. Open your eyes to the colors around you and find the true beauty. were the last of all days. Of all
days. Marilyn Scott, you're incredible. I love you. I love your songs. I love your music. I'm telling you, this is wonderful. You're listening to The Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Linked Local Network of Broadcasting. And here's another song from Marilyn Scott. So don't be freaked out if you hear it. It's just first time I'm actually letting this song go. And maybe you'll enjoy this too. I don't know. She's just a wonderful singer, Marilyn Scott. Kick back and enjoy Marilyn for a few moments while we're taking a break. Okay, we'll be back.
You
Wow, what a great song. You're listening to The Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Link Local Network. And we're listening to some Marilyn Scott. I just love Marilyn Scott, so we're going to listen a little bit more tonight, okay? Sit back and relax and enjoy Marilyn Scott.
You are my center, I'm you inside. We share the passion. Time I cry, I see your movements, and you've kissed each tear. You help bring this helpless fear. You open windows to me I shut. You sewn the stitches.
Waiting, your love will hold me up.
Hold me up.
You're listening to Marilyn Scott here on Blog Talk Radio. We're part of the Linked Local Network of Broadcasting. And tonight is just kicking back and listening to little Marilyn Scott. Love this woman. And like the one of the articles said, she's underrated. I think she's an incredible singer. Love her voice. And hopefully someday I'll get to meet that woman, okay? Of course, I'm already committed to the lovely Miss Martha. But if I wasn't, boy, I'd certainly like to maybe meet her. But whatever. Okay, Blog Talk Radio, kick back.
If it's the last thing I do, I'll make you mine. The first thing is you. In my design, just like the stars by the moon. The very last thing.
You're listening to The Road to Recovery here on Blog Talk Radio. We are a live broadcast about recovery from addictions. I'm taking a few-minute break here, though, tonight, and just listen to some nice, mellow music. If you'd like to call in, you can. Area code 323-580-5755, and we can talk about recovery or sit back and listen to another song or two from Marilyn Scott, who just is an absolute wonderful singer, and hopefully someday I'll meet her. Okay, Marilyn Scott on the Road to Recovery.
Walk past this pain and stress when you think that no one cares. Trust love will be right there. What matters now is that you start today. Life is inviting you to. Travel to this place and take your hands from your face. With everything going wrong, you don't have to be alone. Don't be scared that you're looking. Open up and take what you need. You have to let love in. Give it, you can.
Just a reminder, you're listening to The Road to Recovery live here on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Link Local Network of self-help programs. We usually talk about recovery, but we're taking a little break tonight and listening to some Marilyn Scott, because I love her, and I love her music. And let's see what she has. One more song, I think, and then we'll get back to broadcast, okay? Here on the radio. If you want to call in, area code 323-580-5755.
Thank you.
All right, we're back live here on the Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba, and we were just taking a break there. I got to tell you, listening to Marilyn Scott, I love that woman. I don't know. I don't even know if she's actively singing anymore, but I'll tell you what, her music was beautiful, and I'm surprised she didn't top the charts much better and much longer than she has, okay? But that's okay. That's the way life is. That doesn't mean you sing that you're always going to be the number one singer. In fact, I always thought, you know, hello? So, I don't know. Such is life. Such is life in the fast lane. Do-do-do-do-do. All right. The phones are not ringing, but we can if you want to call in. Area code 323-580-5755. I want to give a shout-out to Steve-O, okay, and his wife, Orlando. And I hope that they're doing better. I know Steve-O is the one that puts together our webpage. He does a lot of things for us. And he's had some personal challenges. Last week he had an impacted tooth, and he came back and combated that. But you know what? I got to hand him a lot of credit, man, because Steve's been sober about 3 years now, and he has been doing a great job fighting and combating a lot of things that after, 40-something years of being a constant drunk, he's showing up as a wonderful man, as a wonderful father, as a wonderful husband, okay? And what more can anybody ask than that, right? You know, everybody's got their own story to tell. What is your story? What are you telling? And can you change that story? Can you make it a better story? Can you make it something that you would be proud to share with people? And I got to tell you, me, I am. I'm proud of my life, my story, okay? You know, things happen. Like last week, Greg was going to make the show. I actually ran into Greg the next day, Monday, and said, "Hey, Greg, what's happening?" And, you know, he seemed flustered and upset, and, you know, "Oh, it was Mother's Day, and I couldn't make it," you know. I said, "Greg, it's okay. It's not the end of the world." You know, in the past, I would have gotten all pissy-faced and upset and said, "You know, you had a responsibility to show up and everything like that, but you didn't, and you left me hanging." But you know what? He just is, I'm happy he's sober. That really is. And if the worst thing he did was that he didn't make the show, that's okay. You know, and how about my friend Ronnie? Okay, Ronnie, wow, what a story there. His story continues to surprise, I guess. I don't even know if I better say it, surprise. Because, you know, here's a guy that was facing prison time for past actions, and today he may be, well, you know, on his way to getting his life together. And how could you not like that? I mean, you know, I wish him well. I had to sign off, really, I had to literally sign off of my responsibilities with him. Okay, because, you know, he is a handful. Ron and his wife, his life and everything. And he just, you know, is a bit much for me. And I got to tell you, I wish him well. I don't know what's his story, what's going on these days, because I just took a step back and decided, you know, I would leave him alone, okay? And sometimes that's the best thing you could do for people is to just leave them alone. And so if it works out that he's happy and things work out for him, how can you not be excited and happy for him, right? Really? Oh, here it is. One. Yeah, here it is. Let's see here. Let's see how our dear Ronnie boy is doing. Okay, and there he is. He's got things happening. Well, you know, he's doing good things, and he's sober. I mean, that's the most important thing, boys and girls. The most important thing is that Ron is sober, okay? And how could you not like that, really? He just continues to surprise me. I don't know how to better even say it. I'm so happy for him, and I hope that he continues on and you know, whatever he needs to do in his life, I hope he does it, really. I honestly do, because Ron's a good guy. He's a very talented guy. A little bit much for me, and I had to shake, you know, I had to let go. I had to let go and let God, I guess. I mean, here I was working with this guy for 3 years to help him get his house on the market, and I don't know. I don't know if he'll ever get it on the market, you know? And if he does, and he will, that's good. And if he doesn't, who knows, okay? Who really knows? That's really not for me to decide. It's for him. So, all right, boys and girls, moms and dads, we're in the last final half hour. You know, I want to read, you know, read a little bit about the big book. You know, always be wonderful to have guests on the show, you know, to tell their story. My story's been told, and it continues to evolve. I will be honest with you. It does evolve on a continuing basis. And the most important thing is that I'm not drinking, okay? And that's always a good thing. Never, you know, never shake a stick at it. It's always good when you don't drink, okay? One day, one step at a time. One day at a time. Let's see here. Let's see if we can find what is going on in this world. Let's see. How about that? How about that? Okay. And this one is still under contract. Unbelievable. 2, 4. We're in the 5th. It's got to close this month, right? Probably. Well, hopefully they will. And they'll be happy, and everybody will be happy here. What is this? Vito Gastino. Central DuPage. Dental Group. I don't know what that's all about. Friday, 11:30. Yeah, who knows? Blanchard Circle. Never know. All right. Let's read. Oh, that was on Women Suffer Too. You know, some really good stories in this book, The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, Alcoholics Anonymous does not endorse or support our program at all, not at all. But you know what? That's okay. We don't have to worry so much about that because we're doing the next right thing, and that's always the most important thing, is the next right thing. Let's see. Do this. 1, 2, 3. Okay, and view, and there we are. Let's see. And we still haven't seen that house. I don't know what is going on with that house. Bedford, wow. I'm a real estate broker, and I always like to know what's going on. And this one here, and that one is there. And 299. Confirm appointment, main area. Of course, it's live back in the river. Okay, well, that's the problem is for this particular individual is, let's see, July 1st, there you go. Okay, amen, brothers, boys and girls, moms and dads. Okay, doing some work while we're talking. Next week. What are you planning on doing for the Memorial Weekend? You know, Anona West, which is a AA club that I attend here in West Chicago, is having a anniversary party, their anniversary party, the one that, anniversary, they've been in the club there for, what, 14, 15 years? It's been a long time. They're celebrating, and it's free food. So if you can make it here, come to West Chicago, Illinois, and enjoy some free food, compliments of Anona West. And it's, you know, it promises to be a good time. I got to tell you, that's all. I guess that's the best thing I could say. It promises to be a very good time. And it's always nice when you, you know, oh, let's see. Let's turn this off.
That may be beyond my abilities at the moment.
Shut down the phone. How's that? Okay, try that, Siri. Shut down the phone.
To power off your iPhone, first press and hold both the side button and either volume button for 3 seconds. Then
okay.
Move the slider that appears on the screen.
All right, I'm doing it. There we go. And we're done. We're shut off on that. Okay, so here we are on the air, back on the road to recovery. It's 8:30, and you know what? I think we're going to shut down early tonight. So, you know what? In a minute or two, I'm going to bid you adieu. That's right. I'm going to bid you adieu. Nobody's calling in, and I don't know if anybody is, in fact, listening. So I will give it a few minutes. If you want me to stay on the air, please call. Area code 323-580-5755, and I'll stay on. It'd be nice to hear if you're out there. If not, that's okay, too. And we'll bring you more Road to Recovery and stories next week of personal life. But you know what? The most important thing is that I got through the week and I didn't drink over it. It wasn't the worst week and it wasn't the best week. Well, it was a great week because I did get engaged to the lovely Miss Martha. But you know what? I didn't create more problems than I could. You know, I could have made a whole mess. And it's okay. Life is good. So, last call for anybody wanting to call in, area code 323-580-5755 here on the Road to Recovery. If not, I want to thank anyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Hope you got something out of this program and this broadcast. Again, it works better with guests, and it works better with someone else sharing some experience, strength, and hope from time to time. Me, again, 22 years, 8 months, and 20 days today. Wow, that's pretty incredible. That's great. And you know what? Steve, get better. Steve, get better. We wish him well, okay? All right, folks, thanks for listening to The Road to Recovery. We will wish you a happy Memorial Weekend. That's next week, and we will... I think we will broadcast, probably a remote broadcast from the Martha's home out in Princeton, Illinois. But this can be heard worldwide, so you're welcome to listen. And just remember, recovery is no accident. It is a commitment to wanting more in life, okay? And when we get out of the denial, get out of the darkness of denial, and into the light of acceptance, we will find recovery. And you don't have to do it alone. You can always do it with someone else and a friend. And just remember, we're always here for you. You can always reach me. My number directly is 1-800-427-5968. That's 1-800-I-ASK-YOU. And that rings directly on my cell phone. It's or you can call my, you know, same thing, 630-918-6129. 6129. I accept emails at Daniel, D-A-N-I-E-L, at D-A-A-R-E.com. And again, look forward to catching up with you next week here on the Road to Recovery, part of the Blog Talk Radio Linked Local Network. Good night, everyone, and have a great week, unless, of course, you have other plans.